Thank you for tuning in and listening to Mount Carmel Church of God Radio Ministries, where we strive to connect you with relevant biblical teachings for the world we live in today. Now for today's broadcast with Pastor Tim Yoder.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, and Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your hedge of protection. We thank you for the way that you watch out for us and that you look out for us. Lord, I ask that this morning you just bring peace and comfort to those that are down in North Carolina and the other areas affected by that terrible, terrible storm. Lord, we ask for just that peace that surpasses all understanding. Lord, whatever our troubles are this morning, whatever we've been hanging on to, may we just lay them down at the feet of the cross today, remembering that you are greater than anything that we may face. Lord, I thank you. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
All right, please stand and worship.
When the sun grinds falling out from underneath my feet, between the black skies and my red eyes, I can barely see. When I'm feeling like I've been sold out by my friends and my family, I can feel the rain reminding me in the eye of the storm. You remain in control. In the middle of the war, you got my soul. You alone are the anchor when my sails are torn. Your love surrounds me in the eye of the storm. When my hopes and dreams are far from me and I'm running out of faith, see the future
to pray for those who don't know Jesus in our lives. It's one of my favorite moments that we get to have. And I know that all of us have people that are walking around this world lost. And sometimes it's one of those things that we don't know what to do or what to say. You know, we want to share the good news, and we want to be there, and we want them to come into that relationship with Jesus. But it seems like no matter what we do or say, it just doesn't seem to click right away. And that's why we go to the Lord in prayer. Because we got to remember, we're not the ones who save anybody. It's Jesus who does it. He works within our hearts and our minds. And he works within the hearts and the minds of the people around us as well. And so what I want you guys to do this morning is to think of those people in your life that don't know Jesus. I want you to think of those three people. And I want you to lift them up by name. But I don't want you just to do it today. I want this to be something that you do day in and day out. We know people that have come to Jesus after 20 years of prayer. It's never giving up hope that they may come to know who Jesus is. So at this time, let's go to the Lord in prayer and think of those three. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you today. Lord, we thank you for the way that you've saved our lives, for the ways that you've transformed us from the inside out. Lord, we know so many people in our lives that are walking around struggling, looking for the truth, looking for all the answers, but looking in the wrong places. Lord, I ask that you work within the hearts and the minds of each of these people as we lift them up by name. Father, knowing that you are the one who saves us. And Father, you are the one that can save them, that can bring them peace that surpasses all understanding. Father, may they know that they're loved and cherished by you. Father, may they come into relationship with you, be made new. Father, we hand them over to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. Have what you need, but you keep on searching. I've done all the work, but you keep on working. When you're running on empty and you can't find a remedy, just come to the well. You can spend your whole life chasing what's missing. But that empty inside, it just ain't gonna listen. When nothing can satisfy, and the world leaves you high and dry, just come to the well. And all who thirst will thirst no more. And all who search will find what their souls long for. The world will try, but it can never fail. So leave it all behind and come to the well. So bring me your heart.
Leave it all behind. Oh, my soul,
Welcome all of our guests here this morning. I also want to welcome those joining us online in the radio. We're thankful for each and every one of you. I also want to welcome the rest of you guys. Just, it's good to see you again. I always look forward to Sunday morning and seeing all your faces. I want to thank Pastor Kerwin for taking the pulpit last week and reminding us that no matter what our past mistakes are, what our sins are, God's grace is sufficient for all of us. But before we dive into the message this morning, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you right now. And Lord, I ask that it's your words that are spoken this morning. And Father, that if anything I say is not of you, that it may fall on deaf ears. But Father, that if it's your words, that it just may penetrate even the hardest of hearts. Father, that we may desire a deeper and more meaningful relationship with you, that we become the hands and feet of Jesus. Father, if there's anything we're holding on to this morning as we walk in, may we just lay it to the side and allow you to speak to us. Father, we thank you for your son Jesus and the examples that he's given us. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the last time that we were in the Life of Christ series, we saw Jesus coming back off the side of the mountain with Peter, James, and John, where they had just witnessed the transfiguration of Christ. And when we came down, he walked into the other disciples having a dispute with the scribes. And when the crowd around the disciples and the scribes saw Jesus, they took off and they ran towards him. It was in that moment that Jesus began to question them and the disciples and the people around on what were they arguing about. It was in that moment that a father in the crowd answered and said, "I brought my son to you that's possessed by an evil spirit." And the man began to explain how he had come looking for Jesus, but since he wasn't around, he went to his disciples and he asked them if they could heal his son. And much to the father's dismay, the disciples were not able to do it. The father felt helpless. He felt powerless and heartbroken inside of this moment. He felt as if nothing would ever be able to restore his young son's life. Yet here was Jesus standing in front of him. And he knew, at least within his mind, that Jesus was that last bit of hope. And just like many of us, the father still had doubts, though, on whether or not Jesus could actually heal his son. When nothing else on this earth could, he began to doubt. You see, we're told in this passage that this young boy had been like this since he was very young. The father explained that since His son was young. He had been like this, and the father had witnessed all types of suffering that the boy had faced throughout his short life. He would be thrown into convulsions. The boy would be thrown into fires and water, and the demon would try everything it could to kill this young boy. You know, I can't even begin to comprehend the pain and the suffering that not only the child would have gone through, but the pain and the suffering that the dad went through witnessing all of this and not being able to do more. You know, by all appearances, this was a great father. This is one who loved his son dearly and wanted nothing but the best for his son. And just like many of us would want nothing but the best for our children. Because the father had seen so much, and no one here on earth had seemed to be able to help this child, the father even questioned whether Jesus could heal his son. And then Jesus reminded him, anything is possible for those who believe. It was in that moment that the boy's father immediately cried out to Jesus and said, I do believe, help my unbelief. And because the father's faith, Jesus healed this young man. We were reminded in throughout that text that nothing is impossible with God. But we have to trust him in those difficult moments. We have to be willing to seek his face. And when the disciples asked Jesus why they were not able to cast out the demon themselves, Jesus came back to them and said that that kind can only come out by prayer. And some translations add in fasting. I think it's important for us to understand that when we have in those moments of doubt, when we have those things that we're facing and we don't see a way over it, we are called to take it to our Heavenly Father and present it to him, to allow him to rule in our lives, allow him to guide us in the midst of whatever we face. That we don't rely on our own understandings, but that we allow Jesus to reign. You know, one of the things I see over and over again throughout this Life of Christ series is Jesus serving others. Just as Jesus served that father and the young man inside of that moment, Jesus served others often by healing others. Jesus would serve others by restoring lives. Jesus served others by turning water to wine so that the wedding wouldn't be ruined. Jesus served others by teaching them. Jesus served everyone, no matter who they were, no matter Jew or Gentile. He served them, whether they were slave or free. He served them. Male or female, Jesus served them. He served others by giving his life so that we could have everlasting life. Throughout Jesus' ministry here on earth, he was constantly serving others. He was giving us an example of what is expected out of each of us, what's expected out of our lives. You know, the scriptures tell us in Matthew 20, verse 28, it says, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. I want you to keep that passage in mind this morning as we go through the text. And for those of you who want to follow along, we're going to be over in Mark chapter 9 again this morning. And we'll be in verses 30 through 37. And the message is entitled, The Way of a Servant. Inside of this text, we're going to see Jesus predicting his death once again. We'll also see Jesus speaking on what it means to serve and be a servant. Being a servant isn't something that comes easily often within the culture we live in, does it? It especially doesn't become easy for those of us who've been trained to take up leadership, to be a leader. It's not something that comes easy for those of us who dream of being served. It's that old mindset of, don't you know who I am? It's a mindset that goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden, where the serpent came to Eve and tempted her with the fruit, telling her that if she eats of the fruit, her eyes will be opened and she will be like God. It's a battle that we engage within our fleshly bodies, this desire to be greater. You know, we live in a culture of 30-second reels on TikTok and Instagram, where people are hoping to catch their 15 minutes of fame, right? Get that 15 minutes of fame. And they're willing to do about anything to get that validation from the world around them. Anything to get people to look up to them. Hoping that they can cash in and be admired. It's often not even about the money. It's about people serving them. It's the same thing when we're dealing with others who are down on their luck, when they're struggling to get by. We start thinking how people should just pick themselves up by the bootstraps. You know, it's the American way. We get this voice in our head that whispers, the Lord takes care of those who take care of themselves. It's one of those statements that has just enough truth in it to deceive us and just enough heresy in the statement to derail us from what God has actually called us to do. To be the hands and feet of Jesus. To serve the least of these within our communities. Being willing to serve the world around us. Forgetting, if we're honest with ourselves, if we look deeply in our life, there has often been people that have come alongside us who've actually given us opportunities that we never should have had. There's people that have actually helped us up when we thought we were just putting our bootstraps on and going to work. It may not have been handed to you on a silver platter, but I can assure you, if you look closely at your life, there are many people that you will notice gave you a chance when no one else did. And they gave you a hand up. You know, throughout this Life of Christ series, I've seen Jesus doing just that, where he served people and helped them wherever he found them. No matter what situation in life they found themselves in, Jesus reached out and helped them. He didn't wait for them to get their life in order. He didn't tell them to pick themselves up by the bootstraps. He helped them, he served them, and even to the least of these around him, he served them. And he started with the disciples. In the text this morning, we see Jesus taking a shift away from his public ministry and into his final act. One where he serves the entire world, all those that come before and all those that come after him. It tells us in verse 30, when they left the place and made their way through Galilee, but he did not want anyone to know it. Here we see Jesus and his disciples leaving the region where Jesus had his transfiguration moment. And him and the disciples start to work their way through Galilee towards Capernaum. This is the moment in Scripture where Jesus is ending his public ministry and begins his final journey towards Jerusalem. This is the moment when Jesus turns from his public ministry and starts looking towards the cross. And he starts walking in that direction. You know, I found it interesting in the text that Jesus says that he didn't want anyone to know it. Kind of an interesting thought. And I wrestled with the reason for a while this week, and I came into this understanding. The reason Jesus was avoiding the publicity inside of this moment and trying to move a little bit more secretly is that he wanted time to focus on teaching the 12, to work with the disciples in a private way. He wanted to make sure that they were equipping his disciples to carry on his ministry after he returned to heaven. He knew what was coming, and he wanted to prepare them for the coming events so that they wouldn't be taken by surprise. He was serving them. We see in verse 31, Jesus taking the time once again to inform the disciples of what is to come. And it says, for he was teaching his disciples and telling them, the Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. They will kill him, and after he is killed, he will raise 3 days later. You know, the last time that Jesus had predicted his suffering and the death to the disciples, they didn't want to hear none of it, did they? They didn't want it. In fact, they resisted hard. Peter even rebuked Jesus himself. And Peter claimed this could never happen. Yet here we see Jesus once again informing his disciples that he would be betrayed and killed and that he would be raised from the grave 3 days later. But the disciples did what they often do. They missed the fact that Jesus said he's going to raise 3 days later. They focused on the fact that Jesus said he's going to die, and they missed that last part. They missed the fact that Jesus said, I'm going to have victory at the end of all of this. I know it's going to be a difficult road, but take heart, I've already won. We know that Jesus has overcome the grave. We know that he had made a way where there was no other way, that he was the suffering servant described in Isaiah. We know that. We have hindsight, which is 2020. They didn't have that. Yet often we are the same as the disciples when the Bible tells us things that we don't like or doesn't fit the view that we want of Jesus to be. What do? We say, there's no way. That can't be true. That doesn't fit my Jesus. The problem is if our view of Jesus doesn't fit the scripture, we need to adjust ourselves. We need to go back to the scriptures. We need to allow God's word to speak into our lives and help us see fuller view of who he is. So that when we read the scriptures, we don't respond like the disciples did in verse 32. But they did not understand this statement, and they were afraid to ask him. And the reason that the disciples didn't understand what Jesus was talking about, that Jesus was talking about dying, is because they had this expectation in their mind of who Jesus is and who they wanted him to be. You see, they were hoping that Jesus is this Messiah, as the Messiah would be a political leader who would reign in this physical kingdom here on earth. They didn't understand that Jesus came to do. He was to be the suffering servant described in Isaiah 53. And if you haven't had a chance, I want to encourage you, read Isaiah 53. And you can wonder, how did the disciples miss what the Messiah was called to do? Instead, what did they want? They wanted Jesus to do it their way. They wanted him to reign in a physical kingdom, not in a spiritual one in which Jesus was speaking about. One where they could play a role in the leadership and be elevated above the others. See, they wanted to be elevated above everyone else. They wanted that grandeur position. Yes, Jesus would be above them, but man, others would look at them and go, wow, look at who that is. And in their mind, if Jesus died, this kingdom that they had imagined would be impossible. Not understanding for the kingdom to come, Christ had to be the suffering servant and go to the cross. In fact, it goes back to that Matthew 20 passage again. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. As Christians, we are called to be the hands and feet of Jesus, to be like Jesus and serve others. It's not about elevating ourselves, it's about elevating Christ. It's not about us, it's about Christ in me. It's about the gospel, it's about sharing the good news of Jesus and that there's hope for all of us, that it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter where you've been through or the sin in your life, that there's hope that can be found in Christ alone, that it's not just for the older people, it's not just for the younger people, it's not for the rich or for the poor, it's for each and every one of us. When the first church was formed, one of the most amazing things that they couldn't wrap their heads around is all these other religions always had like social statuses and everything else going on, and then here comes Christianity, and it's got everybody. It's a melting pot of people of all backgrounds and places together worshiping the one true God and serving each other, and none was greater than the other. Because we're called to be servants, understanding it is in Christ alone that we're saved. It's not about us. It's not about who's greater than any of the others. It's about Jesus. You know, the passage continues in 33, and it says, and they came to Capernaum when he was in the house, and he asked them, what were you arguing about on the way? Apparently, Jesus noticed that the disciples had been arguing on their way to Capernaum the entire time. Sometimes I feel like the disciples are just a bunch of kids. But then we look at our own adult lives and we go, wow, we can be just as bad. Verse 34 was their response. But they were silent. Because on the way, they had been arguing with one another about who was the greatest. I like that it starts off with the passage that they were silent. I feel like it's almost like they were sheepish. They were embarrassed to be called out inside of this moment. They knew that arguing over who was greater was not going to go over well with Jesus. Okay? It's kind of like kids arguing over who is the parent's favorite. All right? I'm my mother's favorite. I have proof of that. But here they were arguing over which one of them is greater. Think about that for a moment. And we were like, well, that sounds ridiculous, but you know what? We do that in the church today. Who is holier? Who is more righteous? You know, or that argument of, I'm not as bad as them. You know, did you see what they did last Saturday night? At least I don't do that. We get into that and we start arguing over, well, I'm a good person. I never did any of that. We have these arguments over who is greater all the time. We may not use those exact words, but we have the same argument that the disciples do so often, forgetting that Jesus said that none of us are righteous, none of us are holy, none of us are good enough on our own. That's why we have Jesus be the suffering servant and go to the cross. That's why we need Christ inside of our lives, is because it's through him that we are made righteous. It's through him that we are made holy. It's not on our own works. It's only through Christ. So when Jesus hears what the disciples are arguing over, he gathers the 12 up and calls them over, and he tells us what he does in verse 35. It's kind of like parents corralling the kids saying, we're going to have a talk. Everybody sit down. It even says, sitting down, he called the 12 and said to them, if anyone wants to be first, he must be last and servant of all. Jesus is diving into the heart of the matter and reminding them that human values are not necessarily kingdom values. What we elevate as mankind as important is not necessarily what God elevates as important. You know, God doesn't care how much money you have. He doesn't care what vehicle you drive. He doesn't care what kind of job title you have. He's not even worried about how much money you have in the bank so that you can give to the church or to different foundations or wherever. That's not what his concern is. He's not worried if you have the latest tech or the latest and greatest of anything. He's worried about how you treat the least of these around you. He's worried about where your heart is at. He's worried if you've turned your life over to Christ. We can get so worried about being seen by the right crowd or by the right people that we completely miss what God wants from us. You know, it goes back to that old adage, it's not what you know, it's who you know, right? We've heard that probably many times in our life. But the reality is, unless the person you know is Jesus, none of it matters. If you don't know him, you don't know anybody. Because it's in Christ alone that we get to heaven. You see, Jesus is more about that humble man or woman willing to fall on their knees before God and repent and ask for forgiveness. Jesus is more about that person who is willing to be the hands and feet of Jesus. That is the one that will serve him quietly even when others aren't looking. That's what Jesus is concerned on. That's what he's looking at. He's more concerned about that than the outspoken person who is just doing things to make themselves look good when other people are around. You want to know who you truly are in Christ? Who are you behind closed doors? Who are you when others aren't looking? Are you still the hands and feet of Jesus? Are you still reaching out inside of those moments? Because that's who you are in Christ. Not who you are here Sunday morning in church. The question is, who are you when no one's looking? You know, it's easy to serve those who can give us a hand up, right? Or easy to serve your boss. You might get a promotion or a raise. But Jesus says that we need to be a servant of all. You know, a true leader willingly serves others. Jesus exemplified this throughout his life and even to his death. He served us all. A true servant means having the attitude in your life that freely helps other in need without expecting or demanding anything in return. Let me say that again. A true servant means having the attitude in our life that freely helps others in need without expecting or demanding anything in return. It's not about having honor and attention brought onto us. It's about freely giving to others and helping them wherever their need may be, wherever their struggle may be, just as Christ did for us. And to make the point even clearer, he tells us in verses 36 and 37, he took a child and had him stand among them, and taking him in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one little child such as this in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me." Jesus taking this child inside of this moment into his arms is very symbolic in this moment. You see, children were treated as second-class citizens at that time. They did not bring much value to their families. They didn't contribute much to the income for the family. Instead, they often brought more of a burden. It wasn't until the child could start working and helping out that that value system even began to change for the children. But here we see Jesus saying we are to welcome them in. You know, we often use this passage as a reason for our children's ministries and all of that, which is great. That is great. We do need to welcome our children. We do need to welcome the least of these. But this passage is not just talking about children. He was talking about those people around us who are treated as second-class citizens. He's talking about the people that many look at as not having any real value inside of our community. And if we're honest with ourselves, there are people in our community that others turn the other way. That if they saw him walking down the street, they would go a different direction because they don't want to have that interaction. I'm talking about people that may not look like us, talk like us, act like us. It may be the local alcoholics, the drug addicts. It could be the person who left their family stranded on the street. It's the people that the rest of the world looks down on, or maybe the people that you look down on. These are the people that will not help us get ahead in life. In fact, some of these people may actually bring us down, and people may look down at us for even interacting with them, for even reaching out. But Jesus says that if we are to serve them. If we are to serve him, we are to serve them. We need to remember something very, very important about spreading the gospel. We need to remember something very important about being the hands and feet of Jesus. We need to remember that each and every one of us, inside and outside of these walls, are made in the image of God. That in the beginning he formed us. That he knew us before we were in our mother's womb. That Jesus didn't come to die on the cross for just you and I, but for each and every man, woman, and child in this entire earth. That's who he came for. For anybody that was willing to call out on the name of Jesus. None of us are greater than anyone else. And we are all people in need of a Savior. And for those of us who've come to know Christ as our Savior, we are called to be the servants of the Most High. We get to partner with Jesus and reach out to the least of these in their communities and serve with a joyful heart with no expectation, remembering our reward is not found here on earth, but it is found in heaven. That we're not building up a kingdom here, we are going to be in the kingdom of God forever in the future. And that we get our hope and our rewards there. My question for you this morning is, who is the least of these inside of your life at this very moment? Who are the people that you will turn around and walk the other way when you see them coming down the street? Who is the person that when your phone rings, you hit the ignore button because you don't want to take the time to talk to them, not understanding that you may have the very word that God has for them at that very moment, and you are not being the hands and feet that God has called you to be? How can we call ourselves servants of Christ if we're not willing to be like Christ and be that hands and feet? You know, my own life would be a mess if it wasn't for people willing to be those hands and feet that were willing to reach out to me in my lowest of moments. I was the least of these. How many of you were as well? If we're honest, many of us would find ourselves in that position. But we had brothers and sisters in Christ who came and walked alongside of me, didn't judge me for where I was at, but kept pointing me to the cross, reminding me that Jesus is the only way out. And that is what we're called to do. And we get a great honor to be able to do that, to work with our Savior and being his hands and feet and being that example to our world. We want to see our community change.
You want to see where we don't have the families falling apart anymore. You want to see where we don't have the alcoholics and the drug addicts, where people don't feel like they need to turn in that direction. We have to be willing to present Jesus to them. We have to be willing to be those hands and feet. It is a process that we have to be willing. It means we're going to get dirty. It means we got to get down into the pit and help them up. That's what being a servant of Christ is about. It's about helping the least of these. It's not about being comfortable sitting in a pew on a Sunday morning. It's about being willing to get uncomfortable out in the world. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity we have to share your good news, to partner with you, to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Lord, I thank you for your Son and what he did on that cross. I thank you for the faithful servants that walked alongside me and who showed me you. Lord, I ask that this morning you may show us who we are called to reach out to, who the least of these inside of our lives are, and that we're not satisfied with just sitting in a pew on a Sunday morning. But Father, that we're willing to get out there into the pits, down with the lowest of the lows of what society, remembering they are made in your image and they are dearly loved. Father, may we turn that over to you. In Jesus' name.
There's a peace I come to know, though my heart and flesh may fail. There's an anchor for my soul. I can say it is well. Jesus has overcome, and the grave.
Calls my name, no more.
Amen. As you go out this week, may you think of who the least of these are inside of your world, inside of the area that you are, that God has brought about for you to reach, to partner with Christ in the mission, the Great Commission. God bless. Have a great week.
To be there until the end of time. You pick me up and say, don't fear. You make me brave when you are near. Whenever I rise, whenever
today from Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries with Pastor Tim Yoder. We meet locally every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Sunday school and 10 a.m. for service. If this program has been a blessing to you, we would love to hear from you. We can be reached at mcchurchofgod.org or find us on Facebook at Mount Carroll Church of God, where you may also find a copy of today's broadcast. We look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, God bless. Have a great week.